Worthy is the Lamb. This week we will be studying Revelation chapter 5. And as John looked at this judgment scene, about to open, he saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, and sealed with seven seals. In Daniel 7, when the prophet there saw the judgment scene, the thrones placed, the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man coming in to receive glory and honor and dominion, he sees books open. John sees the scroll closed. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" At this point, I would like to stress a principle. This question, who is worthy, is not to discover information. The questions that heaven asks, it asks not to find out the facts. It asks to direct attention. In the Garden of Eden, when Jesus Christ asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Did he know? "What hast thou done?" Did he know? "Who hath told thee?" Did he know? Of course. We can make a list of scores of questions which God asks. And then discover that he asks them not to get information. He has the information already. But he wants the ones to whom the question is directed to think of the answer. Where are you? What did you listen to? Who told you you wouldn't die? And as we think of the answers of those questions, we get information. So when this question is asked, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Heaven knew who would. There's no question of information. But the universe, humanity, must focus upon that and say, now, who really is worthy? And the answer is, the only one is Jesus Christ, whom we'll see in a minute. So the proclamation is sent around the universe, and the attention of all beings is focused on the book sealed with seven seals, completely bound. And no man in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look thereon. Humanity cannot carry out this part of the judgment. Then I wept, because no man was found worthy to open the book, or to read, or to look, because he realized its content. And if no one was worthy, then all the damning evidence was there forever and ever against the condemned sinner. And one of the elders, redeemed from among men, as we shall see, who had greater insight than John did, said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Now, there are over 200 epithets descriptive of Christ. Well over 200. Why is the Lion of the tribe of Judah selected here? Because the lion-like qualities, regal, fearless, dignity, power, afraid of no adversary. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, predicted by Jacob in Genesis 49, has stirred up. Now he's the root of David, the ancestor of David, hath prevailed. So, as the lion, as the root, he is the beginning, he is the ending, he is the starter, he is the consummator. He is the foundation stone, he is the capstone. He has prevailed, and the picture of his prevailing are the hidden years of Nazareth and the triumphant years in ministry. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I looked, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and of the 24 elders, stood a lamb in the very act of being slain, in the act of pouring out his blood on the sinner's behalf, sprinkling the blood, mediating the blood in the midst of the throne. There are some misguided souls who think that the only thing that matters is the spilled blood of Calvary. Now, I don't want to minimize its importance, but the spilled blood of Calvary is impotent by itself. If Jesus had not been resurrected, we would of all men been most miserable. And if Jesus had not been able to ascend to the throne of God and to the most holy place and holy place of the sanctuary to apply the blood, we too would have been of all men most miserable. The spilled blood must be the sprinkled blood. The blood that is spilled by the altar in the court must be taken into the holy place. So, in the midst of the throne is the Lamb pouring out his blood. The spilled blood is being sprinkled. And the spilled blood of the Lamb is of a being who has seven horns, perfect might, perfect strength and power, and seven eyes, perfect sight, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth to the whole earth. He knows everything. He has all power in heaven and earth, seven horns and seven eyes. He is in the midst of the throne. He is pouring out his blood. And the word lamb there is a little lamb, a lambkin, a little lamb, innocent lamb. And he, that is the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, the lambkin pouring out his blood in the midst of the throne with perfect might and perfect sight, he has prevailed. He came, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that is the Father, and when he had taken the book, four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now this book, as Christ Object Lessons indicates, contains a record of those horrible, obscene chants that the Jewish Sanhedrin and the Jews and the Romans chanted when they were calling for the crucifixion of the death of the Lamb of God. Crucify him. Crucify him. His blood be on us and on our children. This imprecatory petition is recorded in all its stark horribleness in this book. And so are all the sins of all the people that have not been repented of. This contains the records of the sins that have been committed against Christ. When he had taken the book, and the idea of taking the book is taking it captive, controlling it, he now has it in his power. He can do with it what he wants. He hath prevailed, verse 5, to open the book. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. That is in worship. And these are the representatives of humanity. These are not angels. These are human beings. They understand the implication of Christ's control of all the sins of all the world. They fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, that is the four beasts and the 24 elders, sang a new song. Now the whole universe sang the old song in 4:11, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast created." Angels can sing that. But only these can sing the new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God from among men. Now I know the fact that some versions don't say us. They say men. But the reason for this change is that anciently, there were those who thought, how can the four living creatures, who must be angels, sing the song, Thou hast redeemed us? But they didn't realize that these four living beings were representatives of the human family, of special leaders of the human family. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us, the redeemed one, kings and priests. That's Exodus 19:5-6. We shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. Number of them is 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Daniel even saw these angels. They said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and glory and strength and honor and blessing, which he received in Daniel 7. And every creature, heaven, earth, under the earth, such as the sea, said, blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth upon the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. So the four beasts and the 24 elders sang the new song, which is a song of redemption. If you will get this idea in the Psalms, you will see over and over again that the new song is always a song of redemption. Look in the context, and you will see that the psalmist has in mind that something different is taking place. So the four living beings and the 24 elders sing the new song of redemption. And then the angels and the unfallen creatures in heaven, earth, under the earth, in the sea, whatever they are, blessing and honor and glory to him that sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. So the whole song of rejoicing began, the new song with the four creatures and the 24 elders ends with them. Redemption, those redeemed, are like an envelope enclosing the glory and the honor, the thanksgiving and the songs that ascend to God. And so we see in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, the setting of the judgment and now the opening of the judgment. The main point of the setting of the judgment was the green halo of rainbow radiance around the throne, hope. In chapter 5, we see Jesus Christ in the midst of the throne with his blood poured out for the redemption of mankind. Not only is there hope, but there is glorious redemption. And in connection with this, Father is presiding, the Son is deciding, the Spirit is seeing, the angels are witnessing. Jesus is there in his blood-bought power. The four living beings, the 24 elders, are waiting, and the books of record are now seen to be in the hand that was nailed to Calvary. He has power to take that record and do with that record of man's sin whatever he wants to do. This is the picture of the judgment that inspiration would keep vividly before our minds.